The show is live and local. It's your local performance connection. And on the show today, we've got a bunch of live performers. Second up will be some singers from the University of Illinois School of Music Opera Program's production of Mozart's opera The Magic Flute, which is happening at the Krannert Center in Urbana next week, the 10th through the 13th, I believe. And so we'll be hearing probably some of the better-known songs from there. And then in the first part of the show, in fact, coming up in just a matter of seconds, we have a local klezmer band called Don't Ask, who are among the many performers at the third annual Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival, which is happening in downtown Urbana Friday and Saturday. Friday from early evening on, or late afternoon on, and then all day and into the wee hours on Sunday. And Don't Ask among the performers on Saturday. They're with us live on Live and Local. Live klezmer music right here on Live and Local here on FM 90.9 from the local band called Don't Ask. And of course, I have to ask, and everybody asks, why Don't Ask? Who's going to answer? Frances Harris.
I'll answer it. It has nothing to do with Don't Ask, Don't Tell. It has everything to do with being just a Jewish, Yiddish expression. When you ask somebody how they are, you never say, oh, I'm fine. You say,
oh, don't
ask. Don't ask. But let me tell you, and then you proceed
then
to tell
Then it goes
them.
From there. Oh, yeah, that works. I should have remembered that from when you guys were here, what, almost 2 years ago probably, or maybe even more than 2 years
ago. Yeah, I think even more, yeah.
And, well, let me introduce you now, mm-hmm. because for anybody who happened to have tuned in then or hasn't heard you all live in a while, they will know that have a little bit of a personnel change. So, Frances Harris, who was just speaking, one of the two fiddlers now. Sarah Sasaki is the other. Chris Raymond is on accordion, and I know Chris wasn't with the group back at the time. But the other two founding members are guitarist Michael Shapiro and bassist Mike Meadows. So thanks all very much for coming in.
Thank you.
What's the advantage of two fiddles?
Oh, texture, rhythm, variety, and Sarah's amazing.
And I'm guessing that it wasn't necessarily in that order.
This is true, but it's not uncommon. When you have two fiddles, then one fiddle can often act as a rhythm instrument. Sometimes it's a violin and a viola for that reason, or a violin and a cello might do that.
And do the two of you trade off roles?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we try and it just adds more texture and more variety to each tune, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I noticed I was in the other studio when you guys got started, and certainly by the time I came in, I could see that sometimes you're playing exactly the same thing, and sometimes, Frances, you were on the tune and Sarah on the boom chuck, or at least the chuck. Mike Meadows is on the boom, so to speak. Don't Ask are here because they're playing at the Folk and Roots Festival in downtown Urbana this weekend, specifically Saturday evening from 6 to 7 at Heartland Gallery, Heartland, one of the numerous venues in downtown Urbana that are participating in the festival. This is the third annual. If you looked for it in September, of course you didn't find it. That's when it was the first 2 years, and now obviously this first weekend in November. It starts Friday, about 5 o'clock, Frances?
Yes, there's actually a kickoff on Thursday at Cranard Uncorked from 5 to 7. And we're going to have Dennis Stromat and Creole, Esprit de Creole playing then. But the official, the rest of the nonstop action starts Friday at about 5.
It will stop actually, between like 1 a.m. and 10 a.m. or
something like
that.
That.
But I know on Saturday it goes from 10 a.m. to 1 a.m., depending upon which of the venues you want to go to. And there's concerts, more typical concerts. There's shorter performances. There's workshops. There's sing-alongs. There's kids events. There's storytelling. What else is there, Frances?
This year we have you can build a jug band. Bring your saws and bring your cans and your empty milk bottles, and we're going to have some things. So there's a lot of hands-on things, and most of those are during the day on Saturday, and they're free. And then lots of workshops for different styles of music. The Accordion Club, Chris is leading the Accordion Club, is going to have a performance workshop thing.
Our first performance ever, actually.
Well, I saw that listing, and I thought, I didn't know there was an Accordion Club.
There is. Starting that day. No, I've been meeting with a few accordion players for a couple months now, and we've been getting together a book of some tunes, and we'll be playing for some klezmer dance and some polka dancing, I think, also. So we'll be playing from like 1 to 2:30 or so on Saturday.
So have you cordoned off the area, around the Accordion Society event?
So we don't get mobbed by all the crowds, you mean?
Yeah, I was thinking that so you don't get mugged by all the all the anti-accordion people.
Right. I think we'll be safe.
The accordion among the various instruments that get to be butts of various musical jokes.
Yeah, in Urbana, though, it seems like Urbana is a very friendly place.
Have you found that to be true?
For folk styles and folk instruments, yeah.
Well, that is true, and including the accordion.
Yeah.
And Chris here has been using the accordion in lots of different types of music, as we've found out on this show before, which is a lot of fun. What do you guys have for us next?
We've got it's a Skotchny, which is a dance form. Most of these tunes don't have names, so we'll just tell you that we're going to play a Scotch.
You don't make up the names?
Actually, we do. First one was Earwax 1.
Because it cleans the earwax out of your ears, is that it?
Well, it
or you wish you had some in there.
If you want to know, you just have to come to the show and we'll give you the backstory. Michael also calls it, Michael Shapiro over there calls it the Hall of the Mountain King, because it reminds him of of that,
I could hear that. Yeah. So we go to the show, and we say, yeah. What about the earwax? And you say, oh, don't ask. Yeah. But let me tell you. Have I got it?
Yep, you yes. got it.
See, I'm going to remember it. I'm going to remember this
you
now.
You've got it.
So do you have a title for this one?
Actually, no. It's our first Scotchney, so we just call it the Scotchney. And then when we have other Scotchneys, we have to make up nicknames for them. But the one that is the first by that name.
The next one will be a Butterscotchney.
Yeah, Butterscotchney.
There you go. Actually, you know, excuse me for this aside, but I have a CD from a group. Oh, I'm going to forget what their name is now. It's something like Polkestra. But they do all kinds of names like that. I'll run out and get it just for the fun of it while you're
trying. Ours aren't so clever. They're just kind of in jokes.
Well, I'll give you some inspiration. How's that?
Okay.
But
thanks.
Butterscotchney, that's great.
That's good. Yeah. That's really good. We'll call it the Kevin Kelly Butterscotchney.
No. not nearly as good. And Scotchney, this is a Polish dance? Or else a Czech dance?
I'm not sure.
Because I think I've seen this word. It might be spelled S-K-O-C with a hot check N-I. Does that sound about right?
Sure.
You don't know. Whatever I have to say right
now. Sure, now
I'm
joking.
Go with it. Yeah. Didn't mean to choke
you. Oh, dear. You don't have water in here.
But I'm drunk out of it. I'll go get you some.
Get her a scotch.
But it's, all the music and the dance comes from Eastern Europe, so it picks up all those.
Okay. Don't ask. We won't make Francis talk more at the moment.
Thank you. Okay.
You don't have a concert master to hand you a violin. So that was a truncated version of a Scotchney. Okay, well, while you're fixing your fiddle, I remember the group was called Polkestra.
Oh.
And they have a CD called Apocalypse Now. Let's see, here's the Victoria Commonwealth Polka. That's not so funny. Ludwig van Polka, that's one of them. The four-string Polkanini. This is my favorite, I think. Polka Your Eye Out. This is a literary reference. Let's see who gets this one. The horror. Yeah.
The horror?
Apocalypse Now, the film, was based on a novel by Joseph Conrad called Heart of Darkness. And there's a famous line in there, the horror, the horror, the horror, the horror. There you go. Okay. All right, I'm putting that down. The band is called Don't Ask. So are we going to do that one again or pick it up where you left off or just do another tune?
Well,
and are you okay?
We'll play something else, and then we, if there's time, we'll come back.
We'll come back to it. Yeah.
This is our one called. It's another Scotchney. We call it the Running Away Scotchney, but
it must be a hasty one. Does it mean we beat a hasty retreat during this one?
Right.
Don't Ask, the name of the band here, local klezmer group, who are going to be playing at the Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival Saturday evening from 6 to 7 at Heartland Gallery in downtown Urbana. It's free with the festival wristband, which raises the question, what is the festival wristband?
$25 gets you into everything
for Friday and Saturday.
Although all events on Saturday during the day are free. But yeah, screaming deal. There are single venue prices. Heartland is actually $5 for a single admission to that one venue if you didn't want to come to the rest of the festival. Although it's by the time you pay all those single venue prices, you might as well just get a wristband. Some of the others, like Iron Post, that would be $10 for the single venue.
And I know that one of the, I don't have the full schedule here because there's so many things going on, but one of the folks I'll be talking with on Friday, Lee Murdoch, is a folk singer specializing in literature of the Great Lakes. Mm-hmm. He was a font of knowledge. I already talked to him this morning, but I'll be hearing that on Saturday, Friday, and I know he's doing one of his things at the Iron Post and lots of other things going to the Iron Post. What are some of the other venues involved here?
The Independent Media Center, that's where the Try It Folk Dance will be. That's when the Accordion Club is going to play. And then there will be Yiddish dancing and polka and English and I can't remember the other one. 88 Broadway, we have a lot of things going on in Lincoln Square. There will be jamming, for example, in Lincoln Square, open jamming most of the time. All kinds of performances in the 88 Broadway space, and that's where most of the arts things and individual workshops or small group workshops will be at the Independent Media Center. So it's all within a really tight radius. There will be guided jams or genre-based jams in the Iron Post on Saturday afternoon. So there will be Cajun and old time and bluegrass and blues, I think. Again, without the schedule in front of me, too, my mind is a little blank, but those are the main ones. We'll also have, Bouvons is going to have one show on Friday, I think, and that one is free.
And folks can check out the complete schedule, and it's organized by venue, so you can see what's happening here, there, and everywhere. Right.
The Urbana Library. Sorry, all the storytelling, a lot of the storytelling is at the Urbana Free Library.
That sounds appropriate.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great space.
Folkandroots.org is the website, and you can look by artist if you want and then see exactly where they're playing, or you can look by venue, which is organized, venue within the day and so on. See you at folkandroots.org. And this is Live and Local on FM 90.9. Coming up, we have singers from the University of Illinois School of Music opera program production of Mozart's The Magic Flute. So that should be fun. That's coming up in about 10 minutes. Our program today is made possible with support from the Doudna Fine Arts Center at Eastern Illinois University, presenting the Blind Boys of Alabama with guests Sarah and Sean Watkins of Nickel Creek this Sunday at 4 p.m. at the Dvorak Concert Hall at the Doudna Fine Arts Center. Information is available at 217-581-3110. So, Michael Shapiro, maybe I'll ask you this question. I mean, since you guys indicated you guys were on a while ago, you don't even have a microphone.
It was all part of his plan.
You said you wouldn't answer if I asked a question? But you've just done it.
Yeah,
Well, maybe whoever wants to talk here in that case, because you don't have a microphone in front of your mouth. I just wondered what's happened with the band since I saw you when you used to have a cello and you didn't have an accordion and you only had one fiddle and so on. Have you had a specific line of thinking in your evolution, or is just you picked up these guys because they were available, or what?
Yes, all of the above.
Nobody wants to answer this
question. Francis is the only one that can talk, apparently.
Good thing we gave her
water. Well, Janina Kennessy was our cellist, and she was wonderful. She got a job, which was extremely annoying, and she moved away. but I think our line of thinking has been to follow some of the traditional village klezmer sound, which is the old style, but we also inject a lot of new little surprises. So if people come, they might hear little injections of pop music from out of nowhere. And we've added, we also play a few Armenian tunes and Middle Eastern inflected Turkish style things. So the one thing we don't play very often is what you might expect, like Hava Nagila.
But you would if somebody paid you enough money.
We have been known to do it. I'm going to get in trouble. I can tell. I'm looking at Michael's face, and he can't come. If he's not talking, he can't yell at me, right?
That's right.
But yeah, I think we've allowed all our own influences to come into it, and because everyone comes with a slightly different background.
Sure. Well, I think we have time to have you do one more.
Okay. And I would be remiss in not mentioning that, or just saying, please go to the website because I'm forgetting all kinds of things. For example, another venue is Das Cafe, which is in downtown Urbana, but don't rely on my memory.
Well, and many of these are real. I mean, since you mentioned Das Cafe, many of them are really intimate spaces so that you can be right on top of the performer, which can be a lot of fun.
Yeah,
and I would think it would be just dreadfully intimidating for the player. You know, like you guys are used to that sort of thing.
And it's very participatory, so it's, you know, there's lots of things to do.
Lots of things for kids.
And tons of things for kids.
Particularly on Saturday.
Yeah, and a try it, besides the try it dance, there's a try it tent to try little different instruments. So if you want to actually hear and see Michael Shapiro speak, you could come to that. Okay, this last, we'll close with Funtashli. It means from the river.
We have a violin that's falling apart.
We have two violins that are falling apart.
Not that bad.
It happens a lot. You know.
Don't worry.
Why don't accordions ever fall apart?
That's what everyone asks,
right? Well,
this thing just won't fall apart, will it?
Unexpected ending, right? Yeah. Don't ask here on Live and Local. They'll be at Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival Saturday night, 6 to 7 at Heartland Gallery in downtown Urbana, and it's falconroots.org for the complete schedule. Don't ask, are Frances Harris and Ray Sasaki. That's her dad, Sarah Sasaki. You should add a trumpet. There you go. Ray plays the trumpet, yeah. Fiddles, Francis and Sarah. And then Chris Raymond on accordion, Michael Shapiro guitar, Mike Meadows bass. And the funny thing is I was actually reading that, and I still said Ray Sasaki.
It happens a lot, actually, so. No.
By the way, I have a disc here of piano dances, Czech dances, and the last one on here is a Skocna. And I'm guessing it's similar. And here it's translated as a hop dance.
Yeah, yeah.
So, coming up next, The Magic Flute by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart from the University of Illinois School of Music, live on Live and Local. We heard the overture to Mozart's opera, The Magic Flute, and then one of the wonderful choruses that doesn't get played all that often. But you can certainly hear both in the complete performance of the opera by the University of Illinois School of Music Opera Program, which is presenting it next week, Thursday through Sunday. The Thursday through Saturday performances in the evening and the Sunday matinee at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. The conductor and musical director is Eduardo Diaz-Munoz, who's also the director of the opera program at the School of Music, and he's brought along one of his pianists and two of his stars, so to speak, from that production. And thank you all very much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Kevin.
Why did you pick The Magic Flute?
Because I've been obsessed with that work since I first heard it.
Obsessed?
Yes.
Describe this obsession.
Well, it's a magical play. It's filled with absurdities, with fantasy, with humor, and with very deep matters. I mean, it begins as a comedy, and I mean, how far-fetched can you get when the first scene you have this prince being chased by a huge serpent? And then you have these three supernatural ladies that come out of the blue and save him. And then Act Two begins in this temple of knowledge and wisdom. So, I mean, it has everything. I think that's why I was obsessed with it. I mean, if we think of opera, for an opera to be an opera, to have elements of love, tragedy, even death, well, this one has that and much more. It embraces all.
Not to mention some really great tunes.
Well, that's for granted. I mean, you mentioned to me one Mozart work that it's not appealing out of the 626 that he finished, not to mention the others that were left unfinished. So I think, I mean, this is just a statement that he is by far the greatest musical mind of all time.
And we have some live samples, and we might as well start with one. And I think this is going to come from the character of Papageno, the birdcatcher.
Right, perfect.
And this comes right after the scene you just described, I think.
Exactly.
With the serpent chasing Tamino around, and then this guy shows up. And, well, do you want to describe what you show up in, or leave that for the audience to be surprised?
I'm kind of going on about my business, and
I'm talking about your costume here.
Oh, my costume! Oh,
okay, well,
it's a little wacky, frankly. There's some serious clashing colors going on. I've got some stripes, some plaids, some lovely blue pants.
Oh, right.
Some yellow Converse All Stars.
Oh, seriously? Oh, is that kind of an opera production?
Well, it's a concept production.
All right. And we're talking with Joseph Arco, who is playing the role of Papageno the Birdcatcher. And are we doing this in English or in German?
German.
In German.
Even the dialogues are in German, everything. But it'll be supertitled.
And so the supertitle of this song, first part of it, would say?
The Birdcatcher Am I, yes.
Simple as that. That's why it's in German. It sounds better in German.
Ich Vogelfänger bin bekannt bei alt und jung im ganzen Land. Weiß mit dem Morgen umzugehen und mich aus Pfeifen zu verstehen. Drum kann ich froh und lustig sein, denn alle Vögel sind ja mein. Stets lustig, heißa, hupsasa, ich Vogelfänger bin bekannt bei alt und jung im ganzen Land. Ein Netz für Mädchen möchte ich fing sie dutzendweis für mich. Dann sperrte ich sie bei mir ein und alle Mädchen wären mein. So tauschte ich Bratzucke ein, die welche mir am liebsten wär, der geb ich gleich den Zucker her. Und küsste sie mit zärtlich dann, wär sie mein Weib und ich ihr Mann. Sie schlief an meiner Seite ein, ich wiegte wie ein Kind.
Joseph Arco singing the opening song or aria from The Magic Flute belonging to Papageno, the Birdcatcher, and always a comic character. He stays comic pretty much through the whole show, I think that's fair to say. And I'm curious, Joe. We have here at the University of Illinois, actually on faculty, one of the current great Papagenos of our time, mm-hmm. in Nathan Gunn. And I wonder if you got any coaching from him.
Not musically, but I have spoken to him on several occasions about the role. And he offered the invaluable tip: don't think about it too much. Papageno's a really simple guy. He's a simple character. All he wants, and he mentions it really throughout the whole show, all he wants is food, wine, and a lovely lady, and that's kind of how the character needs to be played.
And he may or may not get a lovely lady.
He may or may not. Yeah. I think you'd have to come see the show to find that out.
Yeah. In fact, I don't even think he's too sure for a long time. That's going to happen.
Most of the time. Yeah.
Most of the time. Yeah. Poor guy. He just gets sucked into this drama, and it's a drama of mythological proportions. Also, you want to talk a little bit about that aspect of the show?
Well, it's not only the mythological, but also in its own time. By the end of the 18th century, many people thought that all the Act Two sequences in the temple were references, direct references to the Masonic tradition and Masonic lodges that were happening at the time. And we all know that Schikaneder and Mozart, not only they were friends, but they were Masons as well. And not surprisingly enough, he chose the key of E flat major for this entire opera, which coincidentally, it's also the very same key that is related to the Masons, and also the same key in which he composed his first symphony when he was 8 years old. So I think that there's a very strong feeling about being mythological, Masonic, idealistic, and even making probably some political statements along the way and some very deep thoughts about humanity and even criticizing society, at least the society of his times, by appearing in certain scenes to be a little, how do you say that, misogynist?
Yeah, okay. In reference to women.
Exactly, yeah. All the time. I mean, at one point, the chorus screams out, to hell with these three ladies, you know, when they go into the temple to sort of rescue, quoted Papageno and Tamino. But I believe that knowing or having read so much about Mozart's life, that he was condemning that sort of attitude, not supporting it. But about mythology, well, how far can you go about all these symbolisms that are related in different cultures to the serpent, or all the wave that hit Europe with all the Turkish instruments, the Turkish dances? I think that he managed to combine all these elements brilliantly to make a masterwork that also reflects, and I'm going a little away from your question, Kevin, what his state of mind was in that year, the year of his death. He was simultaneously working on the Requiem, on the clarinet concerto, and finishing La Clemenza di Tito. So the output of this man was just impressive, amazing. And there are some notes I've read that in some pages of Magic Flute, there are two or three lines that relate to the Requiem. Hmm.
And probably mystical would have been the better word than mythological in my question. There's not so much
Certainly there's
mystery in there.
No, that's fine, because I believe that the serpent has been regarded as an animal that, I mean, for most Christians represents evil, but in other cultures represents wisdom. Mm-hmm. And so that probably has an underlying meaning, but I think that since we said at the beginning of the show, it's more of a comedy the way it starts, so probably, yeah, you know, you're right, it's more mystical.
It might just be a snake chasing a bird guy, or chasing a prince. You never know. He could have just meant that. We're talking with Eduardo Diaz-Munoz, who's the director of the opera program at the University of Illinois School of Music. They're putting on Mozart's The Magic Flute next week, Thursday through Sunday, at the Krannert Center in Urbana. And we have next Pamina, I believe, who is being played by Ani Bourassa. And are these roles double cast, or do we just have one cast?
Yes, we are double casting five roles.
Including these two, I'm guessing.
Including these two, and also Tamino, Sarastro, and
The Queen of the Night.
Yes, of course. We don't want to give away her song today. So, Ani, what have you got for us?
Well, actually, Joe, who's playing Papageno, we're going to do our duet from the first act, which is right after Pamina and has met Papageno, and he's saved her from Monostatos, and they're about ready to run away, and they're just talking about finding love and how great that is.
And we not want to say one way or another, is this the couple at the end, or is there another couple at the end?
You know? This is not the couple at the end.
You gave it away.
Well, he has he's just given her a picture and said that the prince has fallen in love with her. So he's still hoping that he can find his love, but she's found hers.
And it's evident right from the beginning that it's Tamino and Pamina who hopefully will hook up at the end. And our pianist is Kara Chowning, who's one of the assistant conductors and coaches that have helped to prepare this production. I know we were having a little microphone trouble before. Hopefully we'll have had it solved and we'll hear you clearly because it's such beautiful music from the Magic Flute here on Live and Local.
Ist dann der Weibe erste Pflicht.
Ani Bourassa as Pamina and Joseph Arco as Papageno from the Magic Flute of Mozart here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. And we'll have time for one more. So I know you brought two, so you'll have to decide which it's going to be. And I'll let Eduardo Diaz Munoz, who's the music director, make that decision. I will mention that, I do need to mention that support for our show today comes in part from the Prairie Ensemble, who opened their season on Sunday, November 6th at 7 o'clock p.m. at McKinley Presbyterian Church in Champaign. The program, called East Meets West, features Tan Dun's Concerto for Pipa and Strings with music by Haydn, Respighi, and Prokofiev. Details are at 355-9077 or prairieensemble.org. We also have support for our show today from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. More information is available at thecorkscrew.com. And with Kara Chowning, our pianist, I see that Ani is the one at the microphone, so we have more from Pamina.
This is Pamina's second act aria, and it's right after she has run into Tamino for the first time after he's been taken away for the trials, and she's so excited to see him, and he has taken a vow of silence. She doesn't know about it, so she's very upset and sad that he and Papageno, her friend, will not talk to her, and so she's expressing her grief about this.
Thank you.
sein.
And there's a bit more to that, I believe. That's live radio for you, and so you get just a hint of what's going on in this most wonderful of operas. You know, Eduardo, you said at the beginning you've been obsessed with this opera, and I'd say it's been one of those where, you know, if somebody said you can only conduct one opera ever, that's probably be it for me. Maybe just because of such great tunes. It's being put on by the School of Music Opera Program next week. Thursday's the opening night. The 10th runs through Sunday, Thursday through Saturday in the evening at 7:30, Sunday afternoon at 3. Excuse me, at the Krannert Center in Urbana, double cast. So if your friend is playing Pamina, make sure that you know which night she is singing. And if your friend happens to be Ani Bourassa, that's who you just heard here on Live and Local, along with pianist and assistant conductor Kara Chowning and Eduardo Diaz-Munoz with us, who is also, of course, the director of the opera program, and Joseph Arco in the role of one of the two playing the role of Papageno. Best of luck to all of you on the production next week, and thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you, Kevin. Looking forward to seeing you there.
You're listening to 90.9 WYLL-FM and HD Urbana with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville. NPR and Classical Music for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. On tomorrow's Live and Local, we'll be having two live performers from the Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival, singer-songwriter from Bloomington named Dan Hubbard, and also a group from around Champaign-Urbana that plays bluegrass and other things called Black Coffee Fridays. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9.